guys, welcome to the third episode of the YA podcast. I'm Nana and I'm here with Heinz. Say hi, Heinz.
Hello.
And today we're talking about, we're still talking about One Body, One Purpose. Heinz, what is the verse that we're getting this from?
Yeah, so we are reading this from Ephesians 4:16, and it goes like this: from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And we're going to concentrate on that last little bit today, as each part does its work, because we are talking about
doing the stuff. Oh, building the kingdom.
Yeah, building the kingdom, doing the stuff, all of that together.
All that stuff. Yeah, so before we get started, I'm going to pray quickly and then we'll dive in. Yeah, God, we just pray that as we talk about building the kingdom, and as we talk about your word, that we will say things that are honoring to you and that you will bless those who are listening with what you have to say to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Heinz, come on. What's the kingdom then? Give us the lowdown on the kingdom.
So I grew up here through Trent Youth. Mm-hmm. And back then, the vision, it's changed now, but back then the vision statement for youth was equipping the next generation to live in the reality of the kingdom of God. And it's a great vision statement.
It's strong.
But I had no idea what that actually meant. Like, what on earth did that mean? So I kind of grew up hearing about the kingdom of God, but didn't really understand what it was. So when I actually started reading my Bible, it was a bit of a surprise that... it's kind of, the kingdom of God is all over the New Testament. Jesus opens up his ministry by kind of saying, like, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Mm-hmm. And he, when after he died, came back to life again, he spent that little bit of time he had left here on earth by going around teaching about the kingdom of God. And all the way through his ministry, he was teaching about it. And so it was right at the start of his ministry, right at the end of his time here on earth, and all the way through his ministry was peppered with it. And so it's clearly like a super important thing in the Bible. But right at the heart of the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches us how to pray, I think you get a really nice little snapshot of what the kingdom of God actually is. It's right in the middle. It says,
do you know the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah, I do know the Lord's Prayer. I forgot it. My brain went so blank there. But right in the middle, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's kind of like two different sentences saying the exact same thing. Yeah. So for God's kingdom to come, it means for God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah, that's good.
But obviously he's asking us to pray for that. So it's obviously not really happening at the moment, is it?
Yeah. I think as an expert on the kingdom, it's in my Instagram bio. I've always thought of it as like a state of being in which like God is on the throne, like what it would look like, how we'd act, how we'd like honor him as the one on the throne. It's like, in terms of like an illustration for that would be like, if we had a kingdom of Nana, like if I was on the throne, which is heresy, I would have like certain things that I would want. Like one of my immediate rules would be everybody would siesta, that whole nap in the middle of the day. Oh, I rate it 100%. Like if you're not siestering, you'll be arrested. That's just a rule. Everybody, every adult, I mean, I don't care about kids, but every adult will be siestering. My second rule, custard creams, the biscuit, gone. Disgusting. Not allowed. No one's allowed to eat it. No one's allowed to make it. I don't want to see them anywhere. They would be gone.
You're wrong. They're so good.
My kingdom, Heinz. This is my kingdom. What would you do in your kingdom? What would happen in the kingdom of Heinz?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things that I'd implement straight away.
Okay.
So number one, I'd make it like illegal to take your shoes off in church. Like, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the YA podcast. I'm going to say it, like, people come to church and feel like this is the great time to take my shoes off. And like, why are you getting your toes
it's
out?
Holy ground, come on.
Yeah, maybe. But like, I hate toes. So like, straight away, I'd be like, be gone.
I love it.
There'd be shoes everywhere. So that's number one. I'd get rid of that. And then like number two is something I realized recently, is like just something that like really annoys me. Like,
God,
people in a supermarket who say excuse me when they could clearly have got past without saying excuse me. Like, I realized the other day that like me and Amy were in Lidl, and I was like looking at like bin bags or something, and then this lady comes up behind me, she's like, excuse me. And I look around, I'm like, there was ample space for you to get around me. You didn't need to interrupt my day. You didn't need to make me feel like I was in your way. You could have done it without me. I'd make that illegal. Like, I was seething for like half an hour afterwards.
That's such a niche thing though. Like, it's such a specific scenario.
Yeah.
Like, if you were in any other place that's not a supermarket and someone was like, excuse me, but there's plenty of space, would you be like, oh, that's fine?
Supermarket. No, I think you should everywhere. It's just like, when there's ample space, just walk around me. It's fine. I know it's niche, but I realized the other day that it really annoys me. So in my kingdom, that's not happening. But luckily, this is not my kingdom and not my church. So take your shoes off, say excuse me, do what you want to do. It's fine.
Oh, man. But yeah, I think like, obviously, when we think about kingdoms in terms of human people being on the throne, we quite quickly realize that like people aren't great and we are flawed. Mm. Heinz has a very short temper, is what we're learning.
And like, and Nana has a terrible taste in biscuits.
So it's quite hard to like honor those people completely. But when we have God, who's perfect and great, and everything that he wants for us is good, like to live in his kingdom is to live in a way that honors his goodness and his holiness and everything that's perfect. But God's kingdom isn't just like the way that we live out our lives. It's also an internal thing. Like he wants to be on the throne of your heart. He wants to have that internal rule mm-hmm. in which he wants good for you. So the way that you process things and the way that you work internally is in a way that honors his holiness and his goodness. But yeah, like obviously in the Bible we pray like you said, like thy kingdom come. Mm-hmm. And you're saying before, like it's obviously not here yet. What does that even mean? Give us some hard theology now, Heinz.
I don't know if I can give you any hard theology. But like, I guess like the big picture, God created the world, created humanity, and we lived in this perfect thing back in Eden where we walked in the cool of the day with God and we were like working together. We were in perfect harmony. And then kind of sin entered the world. Yeah. And somewhere in that process, we kind of gave some level of authority to what the Bible calls the enemy or the devil or Satan. And we live in this world where the Bible almost talks about it as this present evil age of where we live in a world characterized by death, by pain, by suffering, by evil. But Jesus came and his plan was to get back on the throne, to bring his kingdom. And so when he died on the cross, he started the bringing in of that kingdom of one day. The Bible talks about the age to come, the kingdom of God, which is characterized by life, by joy, by peace. And there's no more war and things are good again.
Yeah.
That's the future. And Jesus, by coming and dying on the cross, he started by bringing that in. So Jesus was walking around saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. And that whenever he was praying for people and they got healed, it's like the kingdom of God has come.
Yeah.
And so we kind of live in this weird time of where we're still living in this present evil age. One day Jesus is going to come back again and the kingdom of God is going to come in of all its fullness. But we can still taste a little bit of that future kingdom right here, right now. In Hebrews, Paul talks about people tasting the power or the goodness of the word of God and the power of the age to come.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. It's like we get like in the here and now, we get to taste it. We get to every now and then we pray for people and we see them get healed. But other times you pray for people and you don't see anything happen. So we get to taste it. It's not a full 7-course meal.
Yeah.
But we get to taste it and that's kind of where we're at. Hopefully that.
That's good. That made a lot of sense. That's great. But like obviously, think about the kingdom. Like it's God's kingdom, and we're talking about building the kingdom. What does that mean? Like what's our role in that? Like how do we participate in this kingdom as Christians, as people trying to follow Jesus?
Yeah, and I think like that was one of the big things for me when I kind of clocked what all of this stuff was about. That got me really excited. So John Wimber, the guy that started the Vineyard back in the day, he apparently had this saying which I really like, which is like, Christianity isn't just a pie in the sky when you die. There's a steak on your plate while you wait, which is, I mean, let's just get right. Like, that is a lovely little rhyme.
It is. It's excellent. It's great.
It's great.
It doesn't work for everyone. Some people are vegetarian, so can't have steaks, but it's cool.
There's a cauliflower steak on your plate while you eat. Like, that's just not, the other day my mum texted me or rang me and was like, oh, I've cooked this amazing cauliflower steak. I'm like, that's not a steak. It's a slab of cauliflower that's probably chewy and waxy and not a good time.
Like you are judging the vegetarians out here who need some sort of steak substitute.
I've got nothing. I like vegetarians. They're fine. But like you can't just call a slab of something a steak. That's not a thing.
Okay, fine.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, no.
The Christianity isn't just a pie in the sky when you die. There's a steak on your plate while you wait.
Yeah.
And I mean, like for the longest time, like when I came to faith, I was kind of part of me in the back of my head. I was like, why don't I just live life my way, do what I want to do. And then when I'm like 82, just say, all right, Jesus, I'm sorry. Can I go to heaven?
Yeah, sure.
And obviously he would say, yeah. Mm-hmm. But out of what I realize now is that you'd miss out on a lifetime of getting to live in the kingdom of God, of seeing that future age breaking in and being in relationship with God.
Yeah.
So like we get to partner with God in all of that. But in terms of like, what was your question? How do we actually?
Like, yeah, how do we, what role do we play in the kingdom? How do we build?
Yeah. So like in Luke, Jesus sends out the 12. So he mm-hmm. talks to his 12 disciples and he commissions them. He says, go into the towns and like heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yeah. And then they come back and they're like, wow, look at all these amazing things that happen. And then Jesus then in Luke 10, I think, calls together the 72. So he then extends that,
yeah.
gives them authority, says, goes into the town, cast out demons, heal the sick, proclaim the kingdom of God. And then they come back and they're sharing all this amazing stuff that happened. Mm. And Jesus is like, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning.
Mm.
And so Jesus, he gave authority to the disciples to extend the kingdom of God. And then he extended that authority to the 72 to extend the kingdom of God. And it clearly they had the authority because Satan fell from heaven like lightning yeah. in that process. So like he's given us authority and then he extends that again out to us as disciples today to yeah. partner with him into going out, proclaiming the kingdom and saying the kingdom of heaven is here. You're welcome into it. And then demonstrating it by praying for the sick mm. and casting out demons and prophesying and all of those different
yeah,
things.
100%.
And God's given us real authority
yeah.
to actually be able to go and do that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think also as part of like building the kingdom, it's quite easy to hear that and think, oh, it means evangelism, which it absolutely does mean. Like mm. building the kingdom, part of that is bringing other people into the kingdom. But it's not exclusive to evangelizing. So it's not just, I'm going to make sure everyone knows about Jesus. And then that's the end of that. Like that is so, so important. So if you're doing that, don't stop. But part of it is also make sure people who are in the kingdom and those who know the Lord experience the fullness of what he has for them.
Mm.
So part of that is praying for people who may be struggling with anxiety to have like the Lord's peace and praying for hope in those who are hopeless and making sure people feel the extent of God's love for them and how you reflect that. And also in yourself, like if you feel like you're not experiencing the freedom that God has for you, actually asking for that and stepping into that because that's what he wants for you. When James gave us talk at the YA gathering a while ago about seeking the kingdom and seeing what God has for us in the kingdom, he spoke about us looking out for it and being on the lookout for what's happening in the kingdom. So I think when you think of the words building the kingdom, part of that is seeking what's here, seeking what God's put in front of us and put for us. But also utilizing what God's put inside you. So like part of the kingdom is that God's given us these gifts and these spiritual gifts are some of them like supernatural gifts of like prophecy and healing and words of knowledge and all these things that we can use to bring the kingdom in. And some of them are more naturally supernatural around like teaching or encouragement or being generous, all these gifts that God's given us, and these can be used for the kingdom, and these are all part of the kingdom. So yeah, I definitely want to like encourage anyone who's listening when it comes to like building the kingdom. There are gifts inside you that God's put there mm-hmm. for the kingdom, and God wants to use them like to grow and to build this kingdom that those not only external to the kingdom can come in, but those in the kingdom can experience the fullness of it. Yeah, so like what kind of gifts do you have, Heinz? Let's talk through some gifts, you know? Let's start talking about what's the Lord put inside you?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I think partly creativity mm-hmm. is something that I feel like he's given me. I think it's something that I kind of worked out over the years. Like, I never necessarily saw myself as somebody who was creative anything like that, but I think slowly kind of throughout the years realizing that maybe he has put some of that stuff inside me. And
yeah. How did you realize that? What?
To be fair, a lot of it was through free church, kind of like when I was part of it, like on the youth team, getting to like, I don't know, just being at events, taking photos and then realizing that they were all right and stuff like that. So I think part of it was through that. But then like, I don't know, just seeing like, I think just seeing the way that I see the world and kind of, being able to like, I don't know, be creative with some of that.
Mm.
But I don't know. So like, that's maybe one of them. But then I think like with my like small group trying to grow in like being hospitable.
Are
like,
you sure?
My mum is the OG at this. Like, like she's so good at like throwing tea parties.
Oh,
and
really?
So like, if you go around, you know you're going to have a banging cup of tea and a cupcake. And she'll just make you feel right at home.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something I want to grow in and be better at.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, welcoming people into my house and like being really hospitable with them.
Yeah. Something I like that you just touched on was the like discovering your gifts through church of like, not necessarily that that's the only place you will find your gifts, but actually being around people and having community is a huge part of figuring out what gifts you have. Like, part of it is like, yes, what are you good at and what do you enjoy? But also there's things that you, that come naturally to you, or maybe that you're good at that other people see and you don't. So having people around you to be like, oh, try this, and you're nailing this, and encouraging you to do that.
Because that's how you found out you were like the most welcoming person on earth, right?
That's exactly what happened. Let me tell you the story. Okay, so basically, so I did a placement year in Australia and I started going to this new church. And I was invited to a small group by someone in the small group, not the small group leaders. So I showed up like a little bit early to these people's house and they had no idea who I was. So I remember just sitting down and chatting to them for a while. And then when it got to like time, a few people like started arriving. And so I'll tell the story from like the small group leader's point of view. So she like sees me like go to the door and meet people at the door and greet them one by one, be like, hi, I'm Nana, nice to meet you. And that just blew her mind. Like, she literally would tell everyone how great I was at connecting with people. And then for the rest of the year, like, I was known as the person that you like take new people to. And everyone would be like, oh, Nana's so good at connecting with people. Like, that is your gifting, blah, blah, blah. And I really stepped into that. However, what actually happened from my point of view on that night was I was sat there and people start arriving. And they're taking their shoes off. And my shoes are still on. So then I was like, oh, I'll go take off my shoes. I go to the door to take off my shoes. And while I'm doing that, they introduce themselves to me. And I can't just be like, I'm not talking to you. So I'm like, oh, hi, I'm Nana. Nice to meet you. I'm awkwardly trying to take off my shoes. And then from this moment, I remember Anna, the small group leader, like, she'd say to other people, like, Nana's so good at connecting with people. And I had no idea what she was talking about. I was like, where did you get this from? But I never said anything. And then one time she was telling someone this story in front of me. I was like, oh, you think something else happened. And I never actually told her that. I was just taking off my shoes.
Wow.
But from there, like, it pointed out something in me that I actually really enjoy is meeting new people and the internet connects with new people. So from like her misunderstanding, I like got to be part of a connect team and got to be part of getting to know new people and helping people get integrated into this church. And it was actually just an amazing year because of that. Like, I won't say quote unquote mistake, because genuinely I think it was God just making the weirdest situation into something great. And that called out like a gift in me,
right,
that I absolutely adored using. And I enjoy like doing, which is just wild. But yeah, that's something that was like, I think that's something that comes from being around other people. Maybe not everyone's story is going to be that someone misunderstood what was happening and then just gave you a gift. But being around other people, you get the opportunity to like practice some of these gifts. A lot of the gifts that come up in the Bible, like prophecy, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, showing mercy, you can only really do them with other people.
Right.
Like, you can't serve yourself. You can't teach yourself. It's hard to encourage yourself. You need other people to be around you. Like, all of these giftings are through community and having people around you to practice those. Maybe realize that you're not the best at that thing. have you ever actually like tried something and been like, this is not my gifting?
Yeah, totally. I've got so many examples. But like, it's not really, I don't know if it's really a gifting, but I did the host team for a while.
Like, oh, sure, yeah.
Setting out chairs. And oh my word, I was like, middle of worship, I'd knock over a set of like six chairs. And like, that was like a regular occurrence. Like,
so for those of you who host team is your gifting, realize some of us can't do it.
Yeah. You're doing it because otherwise I'd be throwing chairs everywhere. So like that didn't go well. And then I did lyrics once in youth, and it was like when I was like young, I hadn't really done it before, and I think the computer froze or crashed or whatever, so I just started button bashing, and I don't know why it even existed or why it's a thing, but there was like a webcam button.
Oh god.
And so like I clicked that. Gosh. So like middle of worship, there's just like a confused Heinz on the screen.
I love it.
And like, yeah, no one was blessed by that.
Imagine you have your eyes closed during worship and then you just open them.
Just
to see.
Freaking out. Face. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, my days.
Yeah, I don't know. What were you?
Okay. One thing I'm just profoundly not gifted in is like kids, like serving on kids, talking to children is just not a gift that I have. I find that so difficult for some reason. Like once you go like house school, those are all the questions I have. Like once you've got there, that's the end of the conversation for me.
If
the kid wants to talk more, I'm done. Like I'm just like, nice, cool. Where's your parent?
Yeah.
That's generally just how I work. So for those of you who can hold a whole conversation with children, blows my mind. You are gifted. The Lord is giving you an anointing and press into that because I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I looked after a friend's kids a little while ago. Looking after the morning web. So me and Amy took these kids to the park.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how old they were, like five or something. And this kid, he was at the top of the climbing frame, mm-hmm. shouting as loud as he could, being like, big weak Hinds, the weakest man in all the town. And I was just like, who even are you? Like, what is going on here?
Oh, man. Wow. He really took shots at you.
Yeah. It's actually, I need some prayer over there.
It's still staying with you.
I just see myself as the weakest man in all the town. But it's fine. The Lord's working on it.
But yeah, so like, obviously there are gifts that, like, they're not for everyone. Everyone has this gift. But the Bible does say in 1 Corinthians 14 that we should desire all the gifts. So even if you're like, listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I don't have this gift, or that's not for me, like, still ask for them.
With that, like, obviously there's those natural gifts that God's like put inside of us. Mm-hmm. So like probably the stuff like you're naturally good at talking to new people, mm-hmm. or like you're naturally good at doing like being hospitable. Like some people are just generally more hospitable than others or better at making cups of tea or whatever. But then there's like the spiritual gifts where none of us are born with that. Like none of us are born with like the gift of healing, or like, none of us are born like perfect at prophecy, or none of us are born being able to like do like that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think it can be really easy for us to like look at people and be like, oh, that person's super prophetic, that's mm-hmm. them, not me, like that's not me. But like the truth is that none of us have those things. They're gifts that God gives us in the moment for a reason. And so like we all just need to be asking for those things. Being like hospitable or welcoming is cool, and like they're things that you have and you can grow. But they're like the spiritual gifts. They're the things that we really need God for. And like, I think it comes with practice and stepping out of like, if you never pray for somebody for healing, you're never going to know if God's going to give you that gift or not.
Yeah,
like
whether that's so true.
That's something that you're going to be able to partner with him in.
Yeah.
But I think like if you were to chat to those, like if you see somebody who's like in your head, you're like, oh, they're like a healing person. They're always praying for people and you always see stuff happen. Like, it's probably they just do it more than you do. Like, if you were to go out and pray for 100 people to be healed, 100% somebody, somewhere, something's going to happen. Like, even if it's just someone's got a sniffle and it goes away.
Yeah.
Like, when you step out in these things, like, God wants to partner with us. He's given us the authority to do it. And so I think part of it is we just need to kind of take that jump and hopefully pray that God catches us in it.
100%, Are there any gifts that you reckon you have and aren't using?
Yeah, loads.
Okay. Lots of hidden gifts. Hidden gift hands. Yeah.
I'm actually really gifted. I just don't use them. That's basically my report at school every year. Wow. Hinds could be great, but he doesn't try. I was thinking a bit about it and lead up to doing this. And I think I remember like, a few years ago, I used to really go out looking for the kingdom, kind of like James was saying, like looking for it. Like, I remember if I was ever like walking through town, I'd like consciously like only have like one earphone in so that I could be like interruptible.
Sure,
so that like if I saw somebody, I could stop and chat to them or pray for them or whatever.
That's
or
awesome.
Like if we would be out for dinner and the waiter was like, I don't know, limping around, I'd be like, my first reaction would be like, oh, maybe I should pray for them. I wouldn't always follow through on it, but like...
It occurred to me.
Whereas like, I don't know, recently I kind of haven't been going out with that expectation. So I can't tell you the last time that I was like out just leading a normal life, not a church on a Sunday, and I like pray for someone for healing or something like that. Whereas that's probably something that I used to kind of really try and make an effort for. And so I think for me, probably... part of it is like going out looking for the kingdom and actually actively looking for opportunities to pray for people.
Yeah.
Because I really enjoy that stuff. Like that's the times for me that I feel the most alive is when I talk to somebody about faith or I pray for somebody who doesn't know Jesus. They're the times that I feel the most alive in my faith. And so I think I really, for me, it's partly that. What about you? Is there any gifts that you feel like you need to kind of re-engage in or grow in?
I think I'm stepping into like slowly right now, but like with creativity, I think there's definitely like a creative side to me. Like with my job and stuff, I do more scientific stuff and I'm very more like thinky. Also creativity does require thinking, but I mean like I feel like with creating new things and starting something that's like with photography or with art or with just anything, I feel like I'm very vulnerable with those things, so I guard them a little bit more. So like with like if I like do a painting or something, I'm a little bit now like I don't know if I can show anyone, or I just feel a little bit more guarded with it and be able to use those gifts like for God and for God's kingdom. I would love to. I think there's a desire in me to do that, but it's also just a lot of like, I don't know, maybe insecurity of just being like, oh, I don't know what other people think, and I think I need to grow in a bit more is being a little bit more confident in my creativity and be like, oh, I want to try it, and if no one likes it, the Lord loves it, so it's good enough, you know. So I think that's definitely something I want to press into a little bit more. Yeah.
So next time you see Nana, ask to see one of her photos.
Oh gosh, oh my gosh, don't do that. Oh man. Okay. Now we've talked about all of that. Like, what should they do? What's the action points we want to tell these guys that are listening? What should they do in terms of building the kingdom, growing in their gifts? What do you think, Heinz?
Yeah, I think part of it is like living your life like in view of the kingdom. So like as Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand, like it's within reach, it's nearby, it's close. All we need to kind of do is reach out and it's there. So like in our everyday life, kind of like looking for those opportunities. I think I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else. Like when you're at the supermarket and you bump into somebody, like maybe asking God, like, do you have a word for this person?
They say, excuse me.
If they say, excuse me, they're done. Forget them, walk on, shake the dust off your feet.
They did not get the kingdom.
But anybody else, like looking for those opportunities or like, having a drink with a friend and they mentioned that, I don't know, their foot's hurting, offering to pray for them. I mean, like actively looking for those opportunities to partner with God in it, I think is a great place.
That's good, And I think also, like now that we've had this conversation, start to think about what gifts you might have. Like start to think about maybe what do you enjoy. Start maybe asking God, like, God, what have you given me? What gifts you have for me? Reveal them to me. Because he happily will. Asking those around you, your close friends, what gifts do you think I have? What do you think I'm good at? What do you think I should press into a bit more? And then trying them. Like just have a go. Like if you reckon that you maybe have a gift of healing, then try praying over people. If you don't, try praying over people either way. If you think that maybe that you might be really good at leading or you might be really good at giving words of knowledge, just try using them. And there is no failure in the kingdom. Like God can use anything. So just have a go. And if it doesn't go well, the Lord's probably still going to use it. So genuinely don't feel that pressure on you. And don't be afraid to ask. I want to like really emphasize this. I think a lot of times when we think we have a gift, we're waiting for someone to be like, I feel the Lord's telling me that you need to do this, 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 this. And that's not always going to happen. Sometimes God telling you is good enough and that you should be able to be like, I think God's asking me to do this. And ask people to step onto that team or to like lead a small group session. Like take that chance and don't be afraid to ask to use your gift. So like for the guys listening, just if you're really unsure about what your gifting is, like ask those around you, ask the Lord, and then use them. Just do it.
Yeah, and I think joining a team is a good place as well. Like, not everything you need to be gifted at. Like, there's not a litter picking gift that God that God gives. Like,
it's a can on the ground. I'm sorry, I'm not gifted for that.
Yeah, sorry, that's not my gift. that's not what God has for me. Like, I think sometimes you can kind of get caught up of being like, I don't know, say if you feel like you're gifted as a worship leader, that's the only way I can serve. Like, actually, like, there's so much unglamorous stuff that we're all called to that we all need to take part in. And I think, like, I guess even if you're the most gifted worship leader and the most beautiful voice ever, like, still join that setup team or still join that car parking team. Like, find ways of serving, building the kingdom in ways that is purely for God and doesn't feed our own egos
100%
or anything like that. And I think joining teams is a great way to find out what your, like, where your gifts are at. Yeah. And like, I don't know, in small group, like your small group leader asks you to bring snacks one time. Maybe it turns out you're really good at like bringing snacks or like baking or making drinks for people. Like, there's certain people in my small group who are always the first people to like offer to do the washing up.
Oh, wow.
And I love those people. They're great people. Be that person. Like, be those kind of savvy.
Yeah, definitely. Savvy. Oh, man. Okay, I think that's everything we have to say, Heinz. Is that everything?
That is. And this is the end of the first season.
It is. Oh, man. This has actually been so, so fun. But like, if you guys hated this, let us know. Maybe let Heinz know. I don't want to know. But DM us on Instagram and let us know what your thoughts are. If there's anything that you want us to change, anything that you just really enjoyed about this, just any feedback that you have, let us know so that we know what to do going forward. The format of things might change, but we'll keep you guys updated. So yeah, just let us know about what you thought about the first series of the Why podcast. Come on.
We've done it. And if you want us to come back, let us know. We'll just assume you hate that.
We'll just fade out slowly and no one mentions the podcast ever again.
It had two plays on Spotify and we've wasted our time.
Or maybe those two people were super blessed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Definitely.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Both of our mums are going to be loving it.
I just occurred to me, mum would definitely listen to this. Just occurred to me that she'd be like, I am a young adult too.
Well, pick up Nana.
I love you, mum. Okay, I think we're done. I think this is the end of the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Peace.